And the Supreme Court soon will decide whether one justice called its most important criminal procedure in decades, whether to allow police to take DNA samples from people who've been arrested. Police already swab those who've been convicted, but want justices to say it's constitutional to take DNA after arrest. Opponents say police should get a warrant, calling it an invasion of genetic privacy. Justice Samuel Alito, a former prosecutor, called this case one of the court's most important, saying DNA collection is the fingerprinting of the 21st century. Opponents question whether police have the right to invade people's bodies with a cheek swab in hopes of solving an old case, but prosecutors called it a minimal intrusion. Justices get to make a decision on that one a little bit later this year. We're joined by Attorney General Doug Gansler from the state of Maryland to talk a little bit about the National Association of Attorneys General, the annual winter-spring meeting taking place in D.C. this week. Mr. Attorney General, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. And on that comment you just made about the Supreme Court, it was a great argument today. It was actually, it's our state, Maryland, that argued it. So it'll be interesting to see how they rule on that.
Yeah, I always think that it is kind of the fingerprint, but it seems like it's even beyond that. This is really an identifying mark for a lot of cold cases that might solve a lot of problems, but there is that question of privacy.
Well, there's a question of privacy, but it's sort of a red herring. I mean, it's really indistinguishable from fingerprints. Some criminals leave fingerprints at the scene of the crime. Other criminals leave DNA at the scene of the crime. And still others leave, you know, photographs of themselves, for example. You know, you see at the 7-Eleven, you see where this guy robbed the store, and then be able to use those photographs, use those fingerprints, use those DNA to identify who had committed those previous crimes is obviously a very important tool for law enforcement. So we're confident that we'll win in the Supreme Court. But there was a Maryland case, and it was interesting. I mean, yeah, the justices were very interested in it because they don't have a body of law regarding DNA and its uses.
You know, that's one of the difficult sides of new technologies because there are no laws necessarily handling it. It takes a while to really understand the ramifications of new technology. The internet's another example. Privacy online, if there is such a thing anymore, I know that's one of the big issues being discussed as well.
Well, that's right. I'm the president of the 50 national attorneys general of the country, and we have, as our initiative this year, what we're talking about right now at the National Association of Attorneys General at our conference is the issue of privacy in a digital age. Things like when somebody buys a product over the internet, say Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or any store, really, what are those companies doing with that information? Do you know their privacy policies? Who are they selling that information to? What are they doing in terms of advertising to you with that information? And is that information being protected from hackers and identity thieves and others? So those are all important issues that we're looking into. Of course, cybersecurity, cyberbullying, mobile human tracking, protection of intellectual property in terms of the privacy of companies. Those are all issues that are being explored.
You know, it's interesting. I probably get, anytime I do anything online, I'll get the, you have to check on this box. That means you have to read what's above it. And it's 20 pages of legalese regarding their privacy policies. I have no idea what it says, and I don't think anybody's ever read it before.
Well, at least you see it. I mean, sometimes they're in what are called dashboards and sort of deep and hidden. And yeah, I think that's right. You want what we're looking for is transparency in terms of putting the privacy policies right there for the consumer to see what is it they're agreeing to, what is it they're not agreeing to. Are they agreeing to being followed around throughout on the internet and so forth? And do they have an ability to opt out of that? A lot of people say, well, they should have to opt in. You know, and the reality is we're hoping for an opt out. Environment, but that's sort of the hope as we go forward. We wrote a letter. I actually drafted a letter to Google, and we had 35 other attorneys general sign on to my letter questioning their privacy policy when they said, we're going to look at all people's Gmail accounts and look for words in there to determine what ads we're going to send to those same people over the internet. It's not that dissimilar than somebody listening to your phone call and hearing the conversation and deciding what mail to send to your house. So we're obviously a little uncomfortable with that, and people did not know about that privacy policy when it was changed and don't have the ability to opt out in many cases. So those are the types of issues that we're looking into.
Now, how easy is it going to be for, take a company like Google, if there are 50 states, there are 50 different policies, is this a state issue or should it be a federal issue?
Well, it should be a federal issue. That's a great point, and that's what Google's position is. They say, well, look, you can't have each state have their own policies because we operate nationally, in fact, internationally, and we'd have to have 50 different rules. So our view is, well, then do the right thing. Don't target children. You know, don't collect children's information over the Internet and use it for illicit purposes or other purposes. And so, you know, we try to work with them and try and say, look, there's a line between individual and consumer privacy rights, and we're legitimate, and they have very legitimate business interests. Where we draw that line is something that we ought to be having a dialogue about, and we have been, and most companies have been actually pretty good about that.
This is Attorney General Doug Gansler of the state of Maryland with us on America's Radio News. Mr. Attorney General, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.